Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this evening, this midweek service to you from the scripture part that we have been reading from Judges 13. And I read especially verse 5, Judges 13, verse 5, where we read, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." The theme of the sermon is God's rescue. 3 points of attention: the promise received, second point, dedication required, and the third point, assurance desired. God's rescue, 3 points: the promise received, dedication required, and assurance desired. Congregation, it happened, boys and girls, children, that there was a young girl. She wanted to talk to her father, and she knocked at the door of his office. And the father was there, he was work, but he had locked the door because he wanted to use his time for his work and no one to come in. And the girl, she knocked on the door and she didn't hear anything. And she knocked again, and the father thought, well, let me be quiet, then she will walk away, otherwise it will, you know, I will have to spend time and cannot use it now. But she knocked and knocked, and then she cried. She said, "Father, Father, Dad, I know that you are there. And I know that you hear me." Maybe your prayer can be like that. That you do not have the feeling, that you do not have the clear answer, feeling that God is answering your prayer. It seems that he keeps quiet, silent. But what do you do? This girl continued. And she had that knowing, that trusting her father is there. She couldn't see, she couldn't hear, but he's there and he is hearing her. And you know, you understand, that father couldn't keep the door locked anymore. He opened the door, embraced his girl. Do we have that perseverance in prayer? How would it have been with this woman that we see here in Judges 13? She was barren. She had not conceived. She didn't have children. She bare not. Oh, we know how difficult it can be. Maybe we have to say you only know it if you experience it. And especially in those times of the Old Testament, it was a shame, maybe more than now, and there was also something of that desire to be used by the Lord to give birth to a son so that the Redeemer, the Savior would come. And now she didn't have a child. How many prayers would there have been in her life? And no answer. Didn't God not hear her prayers? Is he not hearing your prayers? Maybe you think that. Maybe you are so discouraged that you think, well, I'll better stop now. Now all at a sudden, an angel is coming to this woman, and the Lord is giving her desire. Yeah, we don't know even the name of this woman. But the Lord knew her. She is There's not a name, only the name of her husband here. But the Lord knew whom she was and what was in her heart. And that is true of you. Do you believe that? Are you like that girl crying out to the Lord, I know thou art there and thou hearest me? Wonderful. And then the time of the Lord was there to come to this woman. At his time he will come in his way. Oh, the people was in need. And the God-fearing people will have been crying to the Lord about this oppression, this suffering because of the heathen, the Philistines. And the children of Israel did evil again. The people of the covenant did evil again, again and again. That shows how we are. Although God is so good to his people, he gave them the promised land, he gave them his word, he gave them the covenant. How good is God to us? What do we do? And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. What did the Lord do? And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. We could say that is his covenant faithfulness. That he didn't allow them to continue without chastisement, but that he wanted them to be stopped, to repent, to convert. And he gave them, he delivered them into the hand of the Philistines. 40 years. Yeah, and then an angel is coming to this woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. The Lord would rescue his people by this child. Oh, that would take some years before this boy was born and before he would grow up, would be strong enough to fight the Philistines, Samson. Yeah, the Lord is doing things in his own time. Yeah, but he is busy to prepare the rescue of his people, to save them out of the hand of the Philistines. And there will have been many who were fearing the Lord and crying out for years and years. And it seemed the Lord was doing nothing, but he was busy. He had given the promise to this woman and her husband. And the child would be born and was born and was growing up. And the Lord was busy preparing to save his people from the hand of the Philistines. Yeah. And many didn't know and didn't see. How long has the Lord been busy in your life? Preparing you to bring you at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Young people, boys and girls, the Lord is faithful. Oh, that we would not think in a bad way about the Lord. No, it is not his guilt that the people is suffering here. He is busy to prepare salvation. He is coming with his promise to this woman. And in a much greater way, he has done that in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many hundreds of years he has been busy to prepare the salvation of sinners, prophesied, promised in paradise, and prophesied by the prophets. And then the Lord Jesus came to suffer, to die, to take the punishment. Yeah. The Lord is so faithful. Although we do not always understand his ways, we should trust him. He is coming to this woman. by an angel. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not. The angel of the Lord, then we usually have to do with the Lord himself. We think of the Lord Jesus, who came as the angel of the Lord to this world before he became flesh, before he was born. And now he is coming with a promise for his people. And the angel of the Lord is speaking to this woman. And he said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not. It's a painful thing to say that. What a deep sadness in her heart and life. And he is speaking about that. Yeah. And that can be so good if we have the right time, if we have the right words, if we have the wisdom to do it in the right way, when we see people having a deep sadness in their heart, suffering, that we find a way to speak about it. Maybe we hesitate and we think, well, let's not do that. But if nobody never would speak to someone with a deep sadness that you can know and can see, that would be even more difficult, isn't it? It would feel like, well, nobody is interested in my suffering, in my pain. Can be such a blessing if we find the right words to open up a difficult thing, so that the other one can speak and communicate what is inside. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. What a great promise. What a joy for this woman that she received this promise. Almost too great to understand. Yeah. What a comfort in her pain. And now the Lord is coming with his word. The Lord Jesus Christ, the word that became flesh, he is coming to us in the word. He is the center of the word. And in the word of God, the Lord is coming in such an honest way, speaking to us about the deepest trouble in our life, about the deepest pain. If we feel it or not, the pain of being born in sin, in transgressions, received, being guilty from the very first beginning of our lives. And it is so good, it's so necessary that the Lord is doing that, touching that painful thing in our lives, opening it up, so that we would communicate it, that we would express it to the Lord. Oh Lord, it is true. I am so corrupt inside and full of sin. And then to hear the promise, my son came to save sinners like you. Oh, what a deep joy if you hear that by faith spoken to you so personally. And we need it. And the Lord is proclaiming it. Oh, the Lord is not having a desire that we would perish for eternity, but that we would be saved to the glory of his name. We have confessed it with the canons of Dort, that the promise of the gospel is going in this world, and with the command of repentance of faith. And then if you feel this evening, O Lord, I have a heart that is distrusting Thee. I cannot find the rest in Thee with my own heart and own strength. But I know that it has to be there. The command of repentance and faith is coming to me that we would cry out, O Lord, give me faith, change my heart. In all my restlessness, that I find rest in Thee, in Christ. And then we read in the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, yes, faith is a gift of God. So there is hope for the hopeless, for those that cannot change their own heart, cannot give themselves the rest. And He is the one that is working and giving it. But He is showing us our need, our misery. And He's coming with His promise, so that we would trust Him by the work of the Holy Spirit. But the Lord wants also dedication, especially in the life of Samson. And the angel of the Lord is teaching. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. All those things were there to show a life of dedication to the Lord in a special way. We read about that in the books of Moses, in the books of Numbers. It's written about this thing. Number 6, we can read about that. No, it's Numbers 4, number 6, yeah, number 6, the first verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor or of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation there shall no razor come upon his head, until the days be fulfilled in which he separated himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. All the days that he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean. Dedication to the Lord, here in a special way, for Samson in a special way. He had to be the one that would be used by the Lord to save the people, to rescue the people from the hand of the Philistines. No drink of wine, no drinking of wine. And then you think about what the Apostle Paul is writing in the letter to the Ephesians, that we should not be drunk in wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Samson had to be a person that would be full of God, that had to be full of God, to rescue the people. And it would also be visibly outside, the hairs would grow and no razor. That was special, so that he could be recognized as one that was dedicated to the Lord, his whole life, to be used by the Lord. And in a certain way we can say, well, but that is a thing that should be there in our, in each and everyone, where the Lord is working in our lives. There should be a life of dedication to the Lord. The Lord is requiring holiness in our lives, that we would be set apart for the service of the Lord, although we would have our occupation in society, but that our heart and our mind is set upon the Lord. I hope you have that desire. I hope you see the joy that is in such a life of dedication to the Lord. Boys and girls, now it's not a hard life. I mean, it's not a poor life. Of course, there is a fight of faith that the children of God have to fight. But there's such a deep joy in it. Even if there is the hate of the world and the persecution of the world, there's still a deep comfort and joy in a life that is dedicated to the Lord. Yeah, when we read about the people of God in the book of Exodus, Exodus 19, we can read how the Lord is describing how his people would be and should be. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. And that's what we find also in the New Testament about the church, that we should live a life as a kingdom of the Lord, of priest, and live a holy life. Yeah, and then we think about the life of Samson. He had to be full of the Holy Spirit. And we read afterwards, we will come to that. Yeah, sometimes the Holy Spirit was coming upon him, and then he did such wonderful and great things in the power of the Lord. But oh, he had these times that he went astray in such a deep and shameful sins. And now, how is it with us? There should be a life of dedication to the Lord. If we have seen that promise in Christ, if we have seen that forgiveness by his blood, oh, there is that dedication or not. When there was the first love of the Lord in your heart, did you never think, oh Lord, I will not sin anymore. Thou art so worthy that I live a perfect life today. How many times did I sin? Are you not ashamed? Yeah, it was so shameful what Samson did. But how are we? There's only one son born in this world. Only one human person born in this world that lived a life of total dedication to the Lord, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that lived a perfect holy life. Oh, that we would look upon him more, and that we would meditate about his life, to be renewed to his image by experiencing his love in our soul, by having communion with him, that will break the power of sin in our hearts, that will give that fire of the Holy Spirit to live a life of dedication, like Samson had to live in a special way. It will be visible, it would be visible with Samson, it will be visible in this world, if we live a life different to the world, that the world can see it in our lives, in the way we behave, that we do not live for this world, for the treasures of this world, are not seeking the treasures of the earth, but the treasures of heaven, the favor of God more than the favor of man, a life of dedication. You know, what is so special is that we see here that Samson had to live such a life, but had no razor to come on his head, should be a Nazarite to God. But the angel of the Lord says to this woman, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, as a sign of being dedicated to the Holy God. But this was commanded already to the mother of Samson. Isn't that a nice thing to think about that? Isn't that an important lesson? There's such a strong connection between a mother and a child, physically. And the child is received in the womb, growing there. There's such a strong living connection, such a strong physical influence, you could say. But now, isn't it the same spiritually? That it's so important if there's a mother who is expecting a child, that she will have a life dedicated to the Lord. So that there will be the prayer and the desire that there will be a child born dedicated to the Lord. And of course, it's also a thing that we say to the fathers. Now we see, even before the child was born, this thing had to be done. Yeah. We pray for our children before they are born. Maybe you pray, if the Lord would give me a child, oh, let it be a child to the glory of God. And what a secret influence is there between a child in the womb of the mother, physically, but also spiritually, between a mother and a child, a father and a child. Yeah, I hope you see your responsibility that you have as parents to live a life of dedication to the Lord and pray that the Lord might bless it to your children, that they might live a life of dedication to the Lord. Oh, that's not a heavy burden, isn't it? It's your deep desire. If you know the Lord, you love the Lord, it's your daily prayer. It would be your deepest joy if you see that. Child for the Lord. And this woman, she has the promise. She has the promise of the Lord that this child would be used by the Lord in a special way. I remember that story of a grandfather who was on his dying bed. And they heard him talking. And they listened. And he was praying so strong, so earnestly, not only for his children, but for his descendants, till many generations. I heard that about a grandfather, and I have seen the descendants, and I have seen the Lord working in them. What do we expect from the Lord? Dedication required, is it there? From your heart, not outward, alone or in first place, but from your heart. And assurance desired. What happens when the Lord is working in your heart, revealing you your pain, your misery, your guilt, revealing the promise in the Son that is born in the Lord Jesus, in His coming to this world and His suffering, His resurrection? What happens when the Lord is starting to work in your heart? Satan will be there to attack you. It can be so tender in the beginning. It can be so that you are shaken with doubt. There will be a desire for assurance, isn't it? How could you receive assurance? Well, the Lord can give it to you. And the Lord, like the Lord is working faith in man by His word, by His promises, by the Holy Spirit, He is working assurance of faith. So faith is there because the Lord is giving a resting in the promise of the Lord, that you flee from all your misery and guilt to be saved by Christ. But isn't it the same with the assurance of faith? Isn't that a growing in faith? That those promises come again to your heart in a powerful way, again and again, that they become more open and clear to your heart and soul, and all those times that Satan is attacking you and making you doubt, that the opposite is the result, that it is bringing you to the Word. Oh Lord, is it really true? And that you find it in the Word, and that you say, yes, it is true, it is written there. And the Lord is blessing it to your heart, and that He is giving you the assurance. So maybe the Lord is working in your heart and you think, well, is it true? I'm still doing so many sins. How can it be that you come to the Word again, and that you want that speaking of the Lord by His Word and Spirit to your heart again, like we see it happening in this history? Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Why should we not do that? If we feel attacked, why should we not do that? Cry out that the Lord will come again. Isn't that a way to receive more the certainty, the assurance in your heart and soul? How nice is it to see that this woman is going to her husband and speaking about what she has experienced. I hope we do that in our marriages. And if we don't, let's start to do that. To express to each other what the Lord is doing in our lives. And for the one it might be easier as for the other. But it's so good to see this woman speaking to her husband and to see them together speaking about the things that the Lord is doing. And then that this man is praying here, there with his wife, a husband and a man, and a wife praying together. Then Manoah entreated the Lord, said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou sent come again unto us. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again. God is so good. Would He not be willing to come again? To make it alive again in your soul? To speak again to your heart, I'm your salvation alone? And the angel of God came again unto the woman as he sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. Yeah. How good to see that Manoah was having a desire to know exactly what to do to his child. He was willing to take responsibility as the father. That's good. If the fathers really want to be priests in their family, to take spiritual responsibility, and if they want to receive guidance and teaching of the Lord, and that's what we need. So many times we have a lack of wisdom. Oh Lord, I don't know how to do all the things in my family, but give me the wisdom, give me the guidance, give me the teaching. God is so willing to do that, and he will receive the glory. We are so stupid if we think we can do it in our own wisdom and strength. That's impossible. Yeah, how good is the Lord that he came with his promise. And this son would be born to rescue the people. But there's another son born in this world. Someone who is far stronger than Samson. He was strong. But the Lord Jesus, he came. And he did such a perfect work to save sinners. You can read it in Hebrews 9, for example, verse 12, where we read that he was not going by the blood of goats or calves, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Do you know that one? It is more than Samson. Oh, you need to. And the Lord is willing to reveal Christ in all his glory and beauty to the salvation and the peace of your heart and soul. Amen. Let us pray together. Oh Lord, gracious God, thou art so good. There's so much teaching in thy word. We need it so much. And how good it is to see a man who's having a desire to know clear the will of God and his plan of saving the people. Lord, give us all that desire to receive more and more the assurance, clear understanding by faith, by the work of the Holy Spirit. Thou art willing to come again and again and speak to our soul. That's what we need. And there's nothing in this world that is giving more joy, more satisfaction, more fulfillment than this. Oh Lord, we thank thee for thy word. Bless it to our hearts and souls. Oh, forgive us our sins, our spiritual laziness, that we can be so slow in spiritual things. Lord, give us that burning fire of the Holy Spirit, of the love of Christ in our heart. Be with us when we go home. Protect us this night. Keep us safe from sin, from the attacks of Satan, that we might see the power of that son that is born, that is stronger than Samson. He was so weak. Oh Lord, what a disappointment. must there have been for his parents about what he did? How many times are we disappointed about ourselves and our lack of dedication? But if we come to Christ, we will not be ashamed about him. Lord, help us. Bless us, forgive us. We thank thee. Thou art worthy to receive all the glory in all eternity. We pray it. For Christ's sake. Amen.